Hopefully, a lot of you got the message that just had the Genesis 1 sheet that had an opportunity for you to mark it up. This was on Facebook today, and then I don't know, I've had it a couple other places. Just a one sheet thing on Genesis chapter 1 for you to have an opportunity to go and to mark it up. To me, this is helpful. I like to see what's repeated in a chapter over and over, and sometimes that helps us to see the theme of it. So if you did not get that, it is on my Facebook page. I think it was shared on the church Facebook page, and it seems like it was somewhere else too, that you can grab grab the Google Doc, or you can grab the PDF and print it out. You don't have to do it, but it's just something you could do, maybe even as a family, to mark up the different things, six different things on there that we'll talk about. That we'll talk about during this study tonight. But just by way of refresher, what we are doing in this class is we're talking about God's wonderful creation that we see in Genesis chapter 1. And we've talked about this for now. This is our third week together. We've noticed how on the first day God created light. On the second day he created the firmament, where he separated the waters below on the earth from the waters above the earth. And then on the third day, the dry land began to appear, and when the dry land appeared, then we have all of the growth, the vegetation, the trees, the flowers, the roses, and all the beauty of God's creation coming into reality on day three. Day four, we've got the sun, the moon, and the stars galore, created by God. And think about that on day four, all of those come into existence. On day five, finally people can go fishing, except there's no people to go fishing. But finally there are fish to be caught. There are birds in the air, and the beauty of God's creation. All of a sudden there it starts to have noises. Think about the very first, some of the very first noises were the waters, the oceans were the first noises that were heard on day two, and there was no animals. And then all of a sudden you've got birds that are flying and chirping in the air. Day six comes, and day six has some of our favorite creatures, has some of our favorite animals, and they start coming alive on day six, and they start roaming the earth, and start eating the vegetation that was there from day three, and they start making all sorts of noises. And then obviously the crown of God's creation account is the creation of man on day six. He created Adam, and then gave Adam the job of naming all of the animals. And God said, you know, it's not good for Adam to be by himself. And so God created the woman. God created Eve to be with Adam. And so now we have man and woman. We have husband and wife. The first marriage God creates when he gave the woman to the man. And he said that they were to be bound together, be joined together, and remain married for the rest of their lives. Which in that day, Adam lived to be 930 years old. So that was quite a commitment to be making on that first day. The first day of his life, he got married, and he was married for 900 and plus years to Eve. And we showed these pictures last week of just a classroom we had here, where the students were learning about those 6 days of creation, and had those big things up on the wall to be able to see just what was created on those days. So as we talk about God's great, wonderful creation that he made, that we read about in Genesis 1, we know this chapter really well, and so sometimes we just run right through it. But here we are on class number three on this chapter, and I'll give you a little hint tonight. We're not going to finish this study tonight. We're going to have at least one more class on creation next week, and I'm not going to rush through this tonight. But just by way of reminder, this chapter is about God. This entire chapter is about God. 32 times in 31 verses you read about God. And so on my sheet, and I was going to show you just a full screen of this, but I'll just hold up this particular sheet. I only marked God on this sheet, but I want you to just, it, to me, it's just the visual. It's just the visual that what's this chapter about? I've got 32 triangles on this page, and they're all throughout. So what is this chapter about? It's obviously about God, and it's God is all throughout this chapter. We're learning about Him. We are learning about His power, and so we see His power when we get over to the second point that we looked at. And there in that first verse, in the beginning, God created. And so, again, I've got a sheet that just I only marked the words created and the word made. And I wrote my notes up at the top that if I can get my finger over to the right spot, that six times you got the word created, or five times you got the word created, six times you got the word made, or the word make. When you get down to verse 26 and God says, let us make instead of made, make man in our image. So 11 times in this chapter, you read about God creating something, God making something. Again, that's when you think of Genesis chapter 1, obviously that's what you think of, is God creating all things. So then we come back to the third point that we've seen in this study, and that is, how did God make everything? God did not hire a general contractor. He did not look up on YouTube how to do this and watch some YouTube video about some guy some kind of manufacturing plant or some kind of experiment putting all of this together. The Bible says that God made everything by the word of His mouth. And so just by saying things, God brought everything into existence. And so I want you to, again, see the page that I had, and I did a separate page on the word said, and 10 times I've got the word. So look at it. It's all throughout the chapter. All the way through the chapter is said, and I've got one time down here in verse 22 where it has the word saying instead of the word said, but again, so 11 times. How did God bring everything into existence? He said it. By the words that He spoke, He brought everything into existence. So we come back to our PowerPoint, and here's where we finished off last week. And we did not finish this point last week, but what we noticed last week is that at the end of every day, God said that what He had made was good. And this is where we arrived. This is the point. This is how far we got last week. I'm going to come back and again show you my page, where I marked the word good, and I just, since all of these letters have bubbles or ovals or empty spots, whatever you want to call those places on the G-O-O-D, I just filled them in. I just filled in all of the bubbles on the word good. And so up here, you've got seven times you've got the word good. I want you to think about that for a second. I know there are 7 days of creation, but what we read about in Genesis chapter 6 is the first 6 days. In Genesis chapter 1, we read about the 6 days of creation. We're going to talk about that more in just a minute. But 6 days of creation in chapter 1, we read the word good 7 times. So sometimes we think, well, God looked at the end of every day and He said it was good, it was good, it was good. Day 1, good. Day 2, good. Day 3, good. And so you see that in verse 4. Is day 1. Verse 10 is day 2. Verse 12 is the end of day 3. You get down to the end of verse 18, and then the end of verse 21, and then you get down to verse 25. Now, these up here are the first 5 days. But you get down to verse 26, and He's in the middle of day 6. You get down to verse 25, and so far he has created animals. He's created every creeping thing on the face of the earth. And when God had created all the animals, He said it was good. He looked and He saw that it was good at the end of verse 25. It's not until verse 26 that He said, let us make man. He hadn't made man yet. And so there's the first 6 times you read the word good is through the 6 days, but only through the first half, if you want to call it the first half, of day 6. It's not until you get to the end of the chapter, and it's not until you get to after God made man, that God doesn't just say He saw it and that it was good. He saw it that it was very good. Now, what you think about that? Seven times on 6 days, God said that what he had made was good, but it wasn't until he made man that he looked at all that he had made and he said it was very good. I want you to think about God. And I want you to think about the fact that everything that God does is good. Without any exception, everything that God does is always good. And we saw some of these verses last week, and so I don't want to repeat all of them tonight. But in Genesis chapter 50 and verse 20 is where Joseph said to his brothers, after they had cast him into a pit and thrown him, sold him into slavery, and he's down there for 13 years away from his family, and he's a slave, and he's a prisoner, and all of that. And he says, you meant this for evil when his brothers finally came down there. You meant this for evil. But God meant it for good. Everything God does is good. When Samuel told Eli in 1 Samuel chapter 3 that his sons were going to die, Eli said, let God do what seems good to him. Everything that God does is good. And that doesn't mean that God was going to, out of his some kind of vengeful wrath, going to uncontrollably kill Eli's sons. But that was what was going to happen because of their wickedness. That was the result, the consequences of their wickedness. But Eli said, I trust God to do what's good. So Romans chapter 8 and verse 28, the Bible says, we know that all things work together for good to those who love the Lord, to those who are called according to his purpose. And then James 1 and verse 17 says that every good and perfect gift comes down from above, comes down from God. So everything that God does is good. Now, can you say that about you? Is there anybody on this earth that you can say everything they do is good? It doesn't matter how good of a person you know. There's not a single human being on this earth that you can say everything that person does is good. But what do we know about God? Everything he does is good. And the reason that everything that God does is good is because the very nature of God is good. It's not just that what he does is good. Everything he does is good because that's his nature. God is good. And so these verses on the screen that you have here, and these are only from the book of Psalms. We could have gone many other places in the Bible to see over and over where the Bible says God is good. The Lord our God is good. The Lord our God is good. And if you looked up these verses, that's what you'd be reading. The Lord our God is good. We sing a song. God is so good. And we sing that throughout that song. He answers prayers. He's so good to me. He cares for me. He's so good to me. I love him so. He's so good to me. We sing how many times in that song? 7 or 8 times? God is so good. And that needs to be our heart in all of this, that he is good and everything that he does is good. That's his nature. God is not halfway good. God is not semi-good. God is not mostly good. That could be said about some of us, perhaps. But our God is fully and wholly, and I want you to think about that word holy. You could spell it holy good, H-O-L-Y, or you could spell it holy good, W-H-O-L-L-Y. He is completely good, and his very nature, his holiness, is pure and good. And so here's the question I want to ask you tonight. Do we trust that to be true? Do we trust God's definition of good? And what I mean by that is what Eli said. Let God do what seems good to him. Well, do we trust God to do what's good? Romans 8 says, God works all things together for good for his children. Do we trust that God is going to do what's good? And do we trust God to define what is good in his sight? That's really hard to do. That's an easy question to ask. It's not always an easy question to answer. Because in our minds, we have an idea of what is good. We have an idea of what we think is good and what we want our God to do. And yet, do we trust our God to know better than we do? To truly know what is good and not just trust our God to know what is good. Do we trust our God to do what is good on our behalf all of the time? Let that sink in. And it may be that each and every one of us needs to think about our lives and say, you know, I don't know if I fully trust. You think about everything that's going on around us right now. We are secluded in our homes. We're told to stay home. We have a virus that's spreading around. There are loved ones and some of us who have lost our jobs, who have lost income, who here's the first day of the month trying to figure out, okay, the rent is due this today and mortgage is due today and we got a whole new month of bills coming up. And do we trust God? Do we trust God that He's going to take care of us? That when we seek first His kingdom and His righteousness, that He'll supply those things that we have need of. And that whatever the situation may be, that He's going to work things together for good. Romans 8 verse 28 does not tell us when God will do that. It just says He will do it. Romans 8 28 doesn't tell us how God is going to work all. It doesn't tell us when, doesn't tell us how, doesn't tell us where. It just tells us that He will do it. And so as you think about this concept of good, think for just a moment, and then we're going to go on to the next point. Do we seek to hold fast to what's good? 1 Thessalonians 5 tells us to test all things, hold fast to what's good. Do we seek to do what is good and right in the sight of the Lord? Deuteronomy chapter 12 and verse 28. And finally, do we seek to imitate what is good? In 3 John verse 11, where you have a contrast between two brothers in the church in the book of 3 John, a contrast between one brother who was only concerned about what he thought was good and what he wanted, and yet another brother who was willing to imitate what God thought was good. When we read Genesis chapter 1 about God's creation, we learn about a God who is so good. Everything He does is good because that's His nature. The question I want us to think about tonight is, do we trust Him to do what's good? Let me ask you one more question. One more question as you think about this tonight. Because God looked on day one. He looked at the light. He said, it's good. He looked at the firmament day two. That's good. He looked at the dry land and the vegetation day three. It's good. Sun, moon, and stars day four. That's good. He saw the fish and the birds day five. That's good. He saw the animals on day six. That's good. Then He saw man on day six, and He said, it's very good. I wonder, if God were to look down tonight, and there was another verse to be written that said, and God saw David. God saw you. Would He say, and what He saw was good? No doubt, because we are made in His image, there is that goodness to be had. But I want you to think of tonight, if God were to write another verse in the Bible about me as His creation, would He see me as good? I want you to come back to Genesis. Oh, I already showed you my good page, right? Yeah, I already showed you my good page. Let's go to the next point tonight. God saw it was good. Let's go to our next point and see that God created all things in 6 days. And that's what we read about in Genesis chapter 1. We read in Genesis chapter 1 about God making everything in 6 days. And so when you read Genesis chapter 1, you know, some people might try to be silly and say, well, you know, in Genesis chapter 1 is where you learn to count. Well, Genesis chapter 1 helps you to learn to count because God, He absolutely defines for us the first day, the second day, the third day, the fourth day, the fifth day, the sixth day. Let me pause for just a minute. I meant to say this before I came to this point. If you weren't with us at the beginning of the class tonight, we're going to stop close to 7:30 Eastern time. And if you do have a prayer request that you would like included in our family prayer tonight, text that to me. And we will include all of those requests in our family prayer tonight. All right, back to our lesson. So God numbers the days in Genesis chapter 1, and He tells us that there were 6 days. And then He not only numbers them, but every day, look at the verses on the screen. Do you see that for point one and point two, the verses are exactly the same. So God not only numbers the days for us, God defines what the days are. And so when He came to the end of the day, in order to explain and to define what the day is, at the end of every day, He said the evening and the morning were the second day, the third day, the fourth day. So you tell me, what is it that makes up a day? What makes up a day, according to God, is the evening and the morning. So God is right here at the very beginning is explaining to us very simple things. And these are things that we understand very obviously. And yet there's some people that have created doctrines that do not fit within what God says in Genesis chapter 1. Some of those doctrines teach the idea that God did not create everything in six literal 24-hour days. But instead, there are theories that say, well, each of those days represented 1,000 years. And so they explain that each day was 1,000 years long. And so the creation period was actually 6,000 years and not six 24-hour days. Well, what is God doing for us in Genesis chapter 1? God is telling us, here's day 1, day 2, day 3. How are we supposed to think about day 1, day 2? Are we supposed to think about that as 1,000 years? He doesn't say that. He just calls it a day. And then he defines it, an evening and a morning. We know what an evening is. We know what a morning is. So he's defining these days for us. But now come back to Genesis chapter 1 and see that God in verse 14, this is an important verse for you to see. If you ever get into a discussion with somebody that does not believe these are 24-hour days, well, then if they're supposed to be 1,000, if the day is supposed to be 1,000 years, then why at the end of verse 14 does the Bible say, does God say, let them, the firmament of the heavens he's talking about to divide the day from the night, let them be for signs and seasons and for days and years. If the days in Genesis chapter 1 are supposed to be 1,000 years long, then pray tell, what are the years supposed to be? And if the years are supposed to be even long, then tell me, where is God's formula for this? Tell me, what am I supposed to go to calculus class to figure out how long these years are? Or when God says years in Genesis chapter 1 and verse 14, is he really talking about years? Here's a verse that you've got to know. And you might write this verse in the margin of your Bible in Genesis chapter 1 somewhere. You might write it next to some of these days and some of these points that we're making, because there's a verse over in the book of Exodus. And I want you to turn your Bibles to Exodus chapter 20 tonight. I want you to see this verse because God makes it very clear. If Genesis chapter 1 wasn't clear enough, and it is, if Genesis chapter 1 wasn't clear enough that the creation period of God was six literal 24-hour days, then I want you to go over to Genesis chapter 20. And you might write, you can write Exodus chapter 20 verses 8 through 11 in the margin of your Bible somewhere in Genesis chapter 1. Or if you just want one verse to write, then just write Exodus 20 and verse 11. But really, it's the whole context here that shows us that these are six literal 24-hour days. So get your Bible, look in Exodus chapter 20, and I want you to see, you know Exodus 20 is the Ten Commandments. It's God's giving of the Ten Commandments at Mount Sinai. And the verse we're going to focus and really see is down in verse 11. But I want you to, well, let's look at verse 11 first, and then we're going to back up. In verse 11, here's the key. For in 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth and the sea and all that is in them. In 6 days, what did God make? He made all that is in the earth in 6 days, and he rested on the seventh day. Therefore, the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. Now, when you read the word day or days in Exodus chapter 20 and verse 11, are those 1,000-year periods? Or is that a 24-hour day? How is that to be understood? God made everything Moses, that God told Moses everything that he made in Exodus chapter 20 and verse 11. In 6 days, the Lord God made all things. Are we sure those are literal 24-hour days? Back up to verse 8 very quickly. In verse 8, God says, remember the Sabbath 1,000 years? Did the Sabbath day last 1,000 years? Give me a break. Of course it didn't last 1,000 years. The Sabbath day lasted for a day. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. Then look in verse 9. 6 days you shall labor. Well, what's a day? And this is it 1,000 years? Okay, so God's telling the Israelites, you need to labor for 6,000 years, and then you can remember the Sabbath 1,000 years. That doesn't make any sense to these people that weren't living that long. Obviously, they're 24-hour periods. Verse 10 says, but the seventh day. It's obvious these are 24-hour periods. So in verse 11, in 6 days, the Lord God made the heavens, the earth, the sea, and all that is in them. Let me ask you something. If God wanted to tell us, if God wanted to tell us in the Bible, I created everything on the earth in 6 24-hour literal days, what kind of words would he have to use to tell us that? How about the words he just told us that? Genesis chapter 1, Exodus chapter 20, and verse 11. Imagine being there during those days of creation. Imagine waking up on that third day to see the oceans, to have mountains start growing out of them. Imagine being there that day to see God start making the trees and the flowers. Imagine being there the next day where you all of a sudden can see constellations and stars in the sky. Imagine being there the next day and you hadn't seen anything in the ocean, but now you see whales. Now you see fish. Now you see all of these creatures flying above. You imagine you get to the sixth day and your earth is shaking around you on the sixth day because there's a dinosaur walking next to you, a full-grown dinosaur walking next to you on day six. And you see all of that come about in 6 literal days. God's creation is awesome. And next week, we're going to talk more about his creation, that he made everything just by speaking it into existence, and that he looked down and he saw every bit of it was good. And he made it all in 6 literal days. The last thing I want to show you is my page on the day. Here's 11 times. 11 times on this page, day, 11 times you got the word day. And every single time is talking about a 24-hour period. And so we'll talk about the according to its kind, the last thing on here. But here's, when I take all of my markings, and I like to use different colors, when I take all of my markings and I put them all on one sheet, what is this chapter about? This chapter is about God creating all things by what he said. And when he looked at it, he saw that it was good on these 6 days of creation. And next week, we're going to look at that expression that's found 11 times, according to its kind, according to its kind, according to its kind. What does that mean? What's that all about? That's an exciting thing to study. And if you got kids that are in public school and being taught evolution, first of all, they need to be hearing these 3 lessons that we've already had tonight. But next week, that lesson about talking about according to its kind, that is a hit right at the doctrine of evolution. It can't stand next to what the Bible teaches in Genesis chapter 1.